thank you to Mara and Jacob, who came in last week on the 27th of September. They gave us action news, prisoner updates, some readings. In fact, I caught it from our hotel room in Honolulu in the, in the afternoon, 3 hours earlier out there in Hawaii. Why do I have the tan? Talk about that probably in a few minutes. Catherine will be here next week, October 11th, and then Cliffy Boy will be here on the 18th. That's good news for this month. And thank you to Richard, Michael, Carol, Stephen, probably forgetting somebody who is good enough to send in news items, commentaries. Okay, well, the Amsterdam deal as of now is pretty much for certain. It's a gig in Amsterdam, this next Nature deal, Saturday, November 5th, and anarchist evening of some kind on the 7th. So November 6th is open. Another shout out, another call out for folks. The Brussels thing, probably not going to happen. That's only a couple hours from Amsterdam. But if you're thinking about, you know, throwing a big parade or a big banquet for me, you could do it. November 6th is open. Think about it. Okay. Well, I'm going to start out. Going to start out with this Occupy Wall Street and all the spinoffs that are moving kind of quickly, growing and spreading. There was Occupy Eugene just a couple hours ago here near the Student Union, University of Oregon. Didn't last very long. I ducked out for a few minutes and then I looked out the window, it was gone. I think it was,
yeah, it was
rained out.
Raining, yeah.
It was wet. And that isn't the only problem, I gotta say. This is not getting off the ground. It might. It might get off the ground. It might prove interesting, but so far it's about we're for niceness and we're for the good. We're against the bad guys. I don't know who everybody is there, what all is represented. I mean, it's maybe some of this stuff will fall into place, but you get these quotes. And if somebody has been there, knows somebody who has been, I know who's coming down from Buffalo, but I haven't heard from him yet. We're not here to take down Wall Street. It's not poor against rich. It's about big money dictating which politicians get elected and what programs get funded. Like it always was, obviously, but and you've got the comments are kind of interesting. I mean, this thing started from Adbusters, really. David Graeber involved in kicking this off, and the brand new Adbusters. We call for a global revolution, and there's a great quote here from John Berger, which I think is great. The prison is now as large as the planet, and its allotted zones can vary and can be termed worksite, refugee camp, shopping mall, periphery, ghetto, office block, favela, suburb. What is essential is that those incarcerated in these zones are fellow prisoners. Heavy duty, right? Yeah, but then you got people like David Graeber and Chomsky. You'd think, well, they're thought of by some as anarchists, even though they're social democrats, but when at least there's the chance to get interesting. Here's your chance to put your toe in the water, to get out there, and nope. The interview Graeber gave, I think it was Wall Street Journal, was nothing remotely radical or anarchist about it, in the same way with Chomsky, as if I have to say. And various other people have chimed in. The IWW has given its official support, its pledge of solidarity. Chase is cheering there. And what they say is, we must hold our oppressors accountable. Lame-o. How about getting rid of our oppressors and the whole system of oppression? But holding them accountable, that is such weak crap. But that isn't a surprise either. And another familiar talking head is, here it is, Bill McKibben. He's a jokester. Peace today in the New York Times, called The Cronyism Behind a Pipeline for Crude. You know, the big pipeline going to come down through the Midwest. And he's still whining, liberal that he is. How neutral was the State Department about the plan? It was supposedly evaluating. And then later, it really does seem extra shocking in the Obama administration. What a weenie. But this is where it's at so far in this occupation stuff. And who knows, we might not get an infinite number of openings to do something. This has got to change, and I hope it changes fast. Now, there was a last Wednesday, speaking of the Wall Street Journal, front page thing. Protests rise around globe as faith in the vote wanes. Many are driven by contempt of the political class. In other words, this shows that the road is open. Nobody believes this stuff anymore. And I was reminded, there was a recent congressional election in New York City, the famous Congressman Wiener and his sex scandal deal. Well, there was the total turnout among registered voters, 15%. It was the total turnout. So the eligible voters, it's a lot smaller than that, because registered voters, of course, are only a minority of the potential. So nobody's into it anymore. That's the great contrast. Here's something from Daniel Mittler recently. Despite the zero enthusiasm for the system, for the political charade that cloaks it, Mittler is the political director of Greenpeace. They're talking about this Earth Summit, the next one that's coming up, the next charade. The answer, as he sees it, is the goal is a fair and clean global economy. What could be fair and clean about the industrial globalized machine? He just doesn't get that. And we're seeing reports about the Greeks turning to barter networks. And that could be a positive thing. It's not overtly political in the usual sense, and yet people are becoming somewhat autonomous and working out new forms. Okay. Well, let me say a few words about Hawaii. That was pretty cool. I've got the awesome tan. I'm a little disappointed that it's raining here in Oregon. Thought that might hold off for a month. But I gotta share this quote. A friend of mine has this is his voicemail, his phone message thing. This is the statement. Every time I hear it, it knocks me out. See what you think. This is from Omar Khayyam, as a matter of fact. Anyway, this is what he reads on his thing. A few centuries ago, Omar had the following words. A moment's pause, a momentary taste of being from the well amid the waste. And lo, the phantom caravan has reached the nothing it set out from. Oh, make haste. I think that is lovely. That kind of haunts you, it seems to me. Okay. Hawaii. Well, I don't know where to start on this, and I am no expert on anything Hawaiian. I've been to Honolulu 3 times now, and we were talking about this a little. It's not too much of a bicycling city or a reading city, but it's pretty nice, and Carl is getting there in a month or two. Well, the Polynesians got to Hawaii, I can't remember when, but they were domesticators already. It's not exactly clear when they first arrived. Well, and it was a tribal chiefdom's setup, which became, by 1810, a monarchy. And then, to stuff all this history together very briefly, in 1893, there was a coup. That was a nation state of Hawaii, and some Europeans and Americans called themselves the Committee of Public Safety. Or was it just safety? Public safety sounds too much like the French Revolution, I guess. Which really overthrew the monarchy after several kings and one queen, setting the stage for what happened in 1898 when the Spanish Empire was collapsing all over the place and the U.S. was taking advantage of that in Cuba, for example. Then it was annexed. It was just taken over as a territory. Hawaii was just grabbed. And then, of course, after Alaska, in the late 1950s, it became a state of the union, as we all know. Well, and so the sovereignty movement, which is fairly recent, everybody was saying that, really has kind of jumped up, Native Hawaiians. One of the things there, though, which is a little bit iffy, when you have that kind of assault on the country, it was a monarchy, but I think this is my, what I've been hearing about this, people are defensive, even though, it, in other words, it doesn't work in favor of a more radical autonomy. It was the monarchy that was overturned. So, you know, you've got some allegiance on that level. And, I mean, and when, once again, to look at it a little bit further back, chiefdoms often turn into kingships or monarchies. That's the, that was the story in the Middle East, for example, Mesopotamia, to go back to ancient civilization much, much prior to this, of course. So, yeah, that, but there's certainly something going on there. And there's obviously a variety of perspectives. I just mentioned that to bring up one thing. And somebody at the museum conference said to me, why do you suppose the missionaries made such hay? I mean, they were very, very successful. And her answer was, because the monarchy was very oppressive. The mass of the people were what you would expect under monarchy, generally speaking. So I thought that was a fair point. One other thing about it, walking around in Honolulu, they've got some of these historical signage, surfboard-shaped things, and I ran into two of them, one right near downtown. It was talking about the propensity to have small farms, rice fields and caro fields. They make poi from that. These small farms that were sprinkled around, you look up and you see all these skyscrapers and you wonder, gee, what happened to the small farms? Well, it turns out they were unsanitary. They had to go. Yeah, these signs are just quite amazing. And another one, at the foot of one of these almost 50-story, I think it was the Hilton, the big Hilton on Waikiki, there was a fish pond there, a completely, you know, modern, contemporary, contrived one with lights on the in the bottom of the pool. And the marker, the surfboard type marker, said it was celebrating the fish ponds, that this was a frequent thing. It was kind of characteristic. People would have these fish ponds. So they were completely gone, except for the one in the garden of this massive monster hotel tower. As if to say, see, they're still here. You know, if you got $300 tonight, you can look down on the fish pond and imagine it's not just made out of cement. Anyway, it was a great trip, and it's really nice to have gotten away. Got a lot of action stuff, which we'll get to. 541-346-0645. If anybody wants to bring up the occupations thing, which is bursting out all over, maybe people have a more sanguine view of that. They're seeing something that I haven't as yet heard about. Oh, and by the way, let me just mention, I'm going to not save this for the action news, bring in a couple of things which are, in terms of comments, in terms of people, you know, in other words, it isn't just the David Graeber, Noam Chomsky folks that are being asked to comment and showing their that they're so much a part of this system, which could be challenged. Well, here's one. I got a couple here. By the way, the new Bobby Wittenberg James blog site is, what is it? I got so many notes here. Yeah, the old address is not working. It's called Earth Spirit and Anarchy, earthspiritandanarchy.blogspot. Check it out. He's written a couple of things here. This one really jumped out in just the past couple of days. Bobby's point of view, he wrote a piece called America is Already Occupied. It's Time to Decolonize. I certainly haven't heard anything about this perspective. And of course, talking about occupying indigenous lands. That's one reality. That's one way that Indeed, it already is occupied, and let's deoccupy it, let's decolonize it. I wonder if none of the people I mentioned would be bringing that up. And then, this is a new blog from Michael. It's called This Is Primal War. You can just go to This Is Primal War. And he's objecting to the reproduction of the old alienated political processes that seem to be in place in New York, for example, where they sort of are copying the usual ways of doing things. And anyway, I'm just going to quote the very end of his comment about this as it's unfolding. Hello, I am dying inside and out, and I need wildness, I need freedom, I need resolve to this lifelong battle for acceptance of myself. I need to know the feeling of an unlit night. I need to adventure, I need to return to the place where I was born, to be attached to life at every moment, to be wild and free. I need to come alive, I cannot do it without you. So put down your sign and raise the buildings to the earth with me. The whole world is waiting. Couple of things that are quite qualitatively different, and unless you know, maybe I'm being befuddled by the mass media, and there is stuff going on that we haven't heard about. Be nice to think so. Well, let's see. Moving on, today it was announced that there is a significant ozone hole over the Arctic. It used to be over just the Antarctic for some years now, reported yesterday in the journal Nature. And Britain suffered through the hottest October day on record Saturday, 85.8 at Gravesend in southeast England. And speaking of the Arctic, late last week it was announced that satellite images show that some Canadian Arctic ice shelves have thinned by half in just 6 years. And this is part of the backdrop for this UN climate thing that's going to happen later this year in Durban, South Africa. I think I'll just leave that at that. And I've got some solar and wind stuff that's pretty juicy, including the ad of the week here. Been noticing this whole the rollout of solar power on an industrial basis. There's a group suing a solar company over a county project in California, San Luis Obispo, over what it's doing to the state's remaining San Joaquin Valley grassland ecosystem. The solar thing, if it goes forward, put an end to that. There's lots of opposition, lots of not just lawsuits, but there are these huge solar energy plans for deserts in California, Arizona, Nevada, and elsewhere. And they're talking about it's just admitted that, well, we got to have the energy. We got to have the energy, so there's going to be collateral damage. You can count on it, but that's the whole thing. The whole society is what counts. So it doesn't matter to native folks, it doesn't matter to these species, it's environmental law, well, so much for that, such as it is. And this is a funny one about solar. This just came out on Saturday, another California thing here. Chevron is going to use solar to pump oil. Yeah, to pump crude from an aging oil field near Coalinga, California. There we go. Steam produced from 7,000 solar panels.
That's the future. It really is. They're going to use the sun to extract the last drops of oil from the planet.
Mm-hmm. How green is my valley?
They're going to have water wheels. doing it
right, whatever it takes, you know, no matter the crazed contradictions. Well, they're not really contradictions. Let's see, last Thursday Stephen Wright in the Wall Street Journal talking about the Green Mountains of Vermont, and they're going to the plan there, more of the wind thing, industrial size wind turbines along 3 miles of ridgeline, which, and which will mean clear cutting, road building, all the rest of it. They don't just plop those things down out of the clouds. You know, it's a whole ecologically disastrous project, according to Wright, to install those. And here's another county thing that I mentioned from San Luis Obispo. This is Kern County. Back to the wind business. Here's a way, putting it rather straightforwardly here. We have this trade-off in society between the things we need to function as an economy, as mass society, and the fact that we want to make sure we have an environment for future generations. He's talking about the Pine Tree Wind Farm Project in Kern County. This is power for L.A., for the L.A. Department of Water and Power. And what they've been contending with, and this is a story today from Fox News, of all people, I guess. Endangered eagles, hawks, and owls are being decimated already by these, you know, I've quoted somebody a while back that calling these wind turbines the cuisine art for birds. Chewing up those old birds. And to cap this deal off, this is the ad of the week. I don't think I have a better one. The lighter side of wind power, full-page ad in the current issue of Wired, two-page ad in Wired magazine from Dow. And some of us old-timers, Dow means napalm. That was what they were really famous for before. But, of course, it isn't just napalm. Yeah, the lighter side of wind power, and it shows these enormous, it shows somebody looking up at the big turbines, the big blades of wind turbines. And the funny thing is, the turbines, the blades, are made of feathers. Wow, what an irony.
Wow.
It chops the birds up into little shreds, but, I mean, that's only one irony. I mean, if you forget about the birds, to depict these as feather, you know, nice and cuddly and soft like a feather, you know, not giant, many-ton metal noise-making things up there. But yeah, the bird thing especially, I guess. The lighter side of wind power. Yes, why they're just like feathers. They certainly are. Yeah, it's gonna be nice to have Catherine and then Cliff down here, and who knows. Oh, and I'm gonna, next week, partly because of the timing and partly because I forgot the address, but want to turn people on to Michael Becker's weekly show from Fresno. He just does it the second Friday of each month, just one time shot at 5 o'clock, and I'll give you the stream info for that. I know it's 88.1 if you're in Fresno, just like KWVA here. Well, we've got as of today, I'm going to squeeze in a little bit before the music break here at the half hour. Apparently, as of this afternoon, I think 18 dead from the listeria thing, the killer cantaloupe thing. Not to mention the new strains of E. coli and the continuing salmonella thing. And here's a cute little sidebar, I guess you might call it, about bed bugs. There was a whole bunch of stuff about bed bugs. What was it, a month ago or so? It says that actually, nobody got sick from bed bugs. They don't make you sick. It can be annoying, I suppose, for sure. But dozens have gotten sick from the insecticides. I shouldn't laugh, because at least one person died from the chemical fogger stuff that they're using to combat the bed bugs. Probably grows big old fat blood-sucking bed bugs, for all I know. Like, that's the usual deal. And lettuce, this is on the weekend, on Saturday, a California company recalled about 30,000 pounds of chopped romaine lettuce on Friday after the FDA found listeria there after the contaminated melons from Colorado, part of it. And actually, a fairly good AP story yesterday called "The Long Road from Farm to Fork Worsens Food Illness Outbreaks." And of course, that is the complex industrial system that's gotten so attenuated. The growth of serious illnesses from tainted food has, you know, that's just become more common over recent years. And that's, it points out, that's because of the system. It's, it isn't just a coincidence or a, you know, some strange unaccounted for development. With agribusiness, you have a limited number of producers, and so that magnifies the risk. It exposes thousands, and it has to do with the distribution part of it itself too. The whole food chain deal—it's getting crazier, and it's just another. It's another predictable aspect of mass society as it just keeps on developing. In the wider picture, World Economic Forum report says that between now and 2030, the aggregate global cost, the total cost of treating the five most common non-infectious diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, and mental health disorders, will top $47 trillion. In other words, the growth is just astronomical. It's just less and less healthy. And locally, that is in Washington State here in the U.S., don't eat the raw oysters. Some of those are contaminated with a very nasty bacteria. But we always have the drug technology. You know, this always just kills me. Talking about the side effects of pharmaceutical stuff. And if you ever watch television, and some parts of the day and some of the old networks, you figure more older people are probably watching, and although it's not confined, I mean, what's televised, the ads for pharmaceuticals. And you know, they are required to disclose side effects. Oh, what was the one I saw a day or two ago? The side effects include suicide, heart attacks, and what else? Some other just horrendous thing. And no one's saying everyone suffers the side effects, but, you know, you're sitting there, huh, that sounds like a good idea. An idea that couldn't possibly go wrong,
exactly. As
Carl likes to put it. Yeah, the warning labels keep growing longer, according to Gina Colata, writing recently, ever-expanding lists of side effects. Yeah, and there are more side effects than just whatever symptoms you might have or develop. It's also growing stronger bacteria and viruses that meet the challenge, kind of like the technological spiral. But the other part of relying on the technological solution. Today in the Wall Street Journal, this is a story called "A Hormone May Treat Autism Social Disorders." Yeah, there's a special hormone. And once again, it's so completely ideological. In other words, it's a healthy society. It must be just a hormone or a vitamin or a gene or something like that that causes autism and social disorders. It isn't a more and more completely dysfunctional, pathological society. Oh no. And it's just, you know, that could be an onion or something, just a sad, twisted joke. And there will be today, this was in the New York Times today, an addiction vaccine, tantalizingly close. Yeah, that's why people become addicts, you know.
Tantalizingly close, that addiction vaccine makes you just kind of want
it. Ooh, Jones for it. Yeah, funny. Wow, I see what you're saying. You want some of this. You want more. Come on.
Yeah, let's try it. Keep taking it or else it doesn't work anymore.
There you go. Yeah, and that's why people are addicts. You know, anyway, it's the same point. Okay, let's have a little... We got a little Miles.
Yes, we do.
And then we'll have Action News and all sorts of stuff and your calls. Somebody Meebo'd from Michigan. Instead of Occupy Wall Street, dismantle Wall Street. A better option. Here, here. Okay, action. This is just posted last week. This happened on September the 19th. Bomb attack against Agro Super, a corporation in Chile. Homemade bomb, container full of black powder. We set off a thundering explosion in the offices of the murderous Agro Super Company, downtown Santiago, place surrounded by police installations. Sweet. A couple of things that, a couple of, the state authority crumbling to the power of opposition or resistance. They, in Spain, Catalonia has banished bullfighting, the ritual stabbing of bulls that went on and on and on. And there's one other region that has banned bullfighting. And that has something to do with ALF-ELF torching of bull rings. And the other thing, the along those lines, government decision to not build the massive dam in Myanmar because of the huge amount of resistance there. Okay, last Sunday, this is Sunday 9 days ago, I think it was, 300 mink liberated from an Oregon fur farm in the wee hours. Okay, in Argentina, this is Buenos Aires, last Monday, a week ago, yesterday, we claim responsibility for torching a Buenos Aires protection private security vehicle in the middle of the Boedo neighborhood, Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires Protection does work for the police society, the private outfit set on fire. Also, Monday, a week ago Monday, the main rail line in southwest Washington was sabotaged is following the ILWU militancy in Longview, Washington. Considerable damage, tampering along the line north of Vancouver to Chehalis, is just getting up into central Washington en route to Seattle if you're going north. And several fires were set at a shipyard in Batam, Indonesia. About 1,000 workers at the Singapore-owned engineering firm, shipyard engineering firm, went on the rampage last Tuesday, a week ago, setting fire to an office equipment room and several vehicles after security cops beat up two workers. And more rioting in China. The latest deal a week ago Saturday, rioters in the southern province of Guangdong have besieged government buildings, attacked police, overturned SWAT team vehicles. This has to do with more seizures of land following blockade of a highway on Wednesday, the Wednesday of that week. It's all about development and people fighting back. The whole security housing prisoner hunger strike deal in California, the California penal system, has resumed last Thursday. Yeah, that seemed to have petered out, and there was a problem with accurate information or the dissemination of information among the people in the different joints. But that is still going on. More than 4,200 inmates at 8 prisons have been refusing state-issued meals. You could put meals in quotes maybe, since Monday, according to the California Department of Corrections. So, I don't know, it might be more than that. 4 luxury cars, getting back to Buenos Aires. Friends of the Earth. And they're talking about, among other things in their communique, hardly anyone knows how to live without technology. Anyway, they set fire to 4 luxury automobiles. And in Iceland, Saturday, we're getting closer to today. Saturday, lawmakers in Reykjavik were pelted with eggs, fireworks, yogurt at the opening session of the parliament. One legislator injured. Sunday night, At around 2 a.m., we set fire to a column, a place your order column, at McDonald's in Udine, Italy, which is up past Venice in the northeast corner of Italy. Yes, we just, well, there, did I need to tell you why McDonald's would get burned? And today, this is a cool little mystery. This is reported, I think this was actually in Fox News today. Hundreds and hundreds of pigs have been vanishing due to break-ins at least 10 factory farms across the country, the U.S. that is, up to, I think it's up to 600 pigs in one incident. Pig farms in Minnesota and Iowa, so they're being liberated in large numbers. It sounds like a well-organized, coordinated deal hitting the raisers of swine, domesticated pigs. And there's more, this is kind of a general deal, but there are signs that there's more opposition to GMO. That is not a done deal, even in the U.S. here. More farmers and others against the big agro, which is, of course, pushing this. Well, more details will come out, but these giants like Monsanto, DuPont, and Syngenta, they are just trying to completely suppress the bad news part of this, what kind of a price has to be paid, and the whole picture, the fact that you have seeds that have to be replaced. You have to buy new seeds. You probably heard all about it. Yeah, the iconic Myanmar River stirs unheard of public protests. This is just before, well, this is last week, before it was announced it ain't going to happen. That is a great victory there. And some stuff that isn't quite so victorious here, but I mentioned, and I'll say it again, earthspiritandanarchy.blogspot is Bobby's. Way worth checking out what he's been doing recently, his contributions. And this is Primal War. That's brand new. I haven't even read it all, but what I read, I even quoted some of it. Awesome. And you got these ultra-left people. This is a blog from, or not a blog, it's a post, anarchistnews.org, piece called Applied Non-Existence. Yeah, very tricky. Beyond the Black Bloc. Once again, Beyond the Black Bloc. Let's just leap right over that. Let's just be beyond all that. Yeah, I, these people would have never been found in the streets. I really do not believe. Okay. Well, let's get back to the... I just love the tech corner. Let's just dwell on that a little bit. There's been a new survey released about the major expansion of data centers around the world, like the Google, the new data center in Hamina, Finland, and really is coming out. The craze for energy, they're right there on the edge with that. But look at the good things we're getting from it. Here's a full page. This is like the runner-up of the ad of the week. Audi, it's an ad for the Audi A6. Yeah, the Audi A6, the highly intelligent new Audi A6. This is kind of nutty. Needless to say, the yellow light was invented in 1920. Almost 100 years later, 85% of drivers have no idea what to do when they see one. But that's okay, because the Audi A6 makes 2,000 decisions a second. So they're smartening up the road, just like IBM is pushing for a smarter planet. The road is now an intelligent place. And this is part of... you sit in your car and maybe somehow it turns on by itself and drives itself, and you don't have to know what a yellow light means, but, you know, why should you? Or if you're asleep and about to collide with something, you're in a car that's way smarter than you are, way faster and everything else, so it's kind of silly to, you know, be thinking you are driving the car, I guess.
I got a question from Meebo.
Okay.
Listener wants to know that even though there's not been any militancy so far in any of the Occupy demonstrations, do you think they're useful in any way?
Well, they might be useful for re-electing Obama. That's about the level of it right now. In fact, some of this resembles the rhetoric of the Obama campaign in 08. It's just this kind of general greed is bad, corruption is bad. Kind of hard to argue with it, but if you never, maybe a little bit like the old insurrectionary, if you never mention an institution, if you're just about being against the bad guys, that goes nowhere. That's not helpful. That is wasting time and keeping things at a dumb level. It could change. It could change. I mean, that could change quickly. I'm not ruling anything out. I bet at the moment, from what I know, it's really not happening, and it could. But again, you know, it there could be some good stuff ahead, or it could serve to kind of neuter whatever. I mean, there is a lot of anger. This is predicated on the well-known fact of people feel humiliated and screwed and everything else, and so what's going to happen? We'll find out. I mean, I unless I'm mistaken, and I hope I am, actually, that there's nothing much with this. It's going out of its way to just be a kind of a liberal version of the Tea Party. And, you know, going to take more than that. If you know more about this than I do, I mean, what is there? Do you see some radical quotient or something that's going to put something on the table that people like Chomsky and McKibben and Graeber will never apparently put on the table? I mean, not that we depend on famous names or something, but you know, you kind of look around. Who are they quoting? Who are they quoting on the sidewalk? Not to mention the more well-known people, but are they just suppressing more interesting ideas that are being discussed? That's possible. What do you think? And, you know, there's so many basic things, really basic things. I mean, here we are in this really sterile techno culture that nobody wants to name or really plumb. Of course, well, that's not true. I mean, there's all kinds of articles and books about it. It's not a big secret what's going on with attention spans and the whole fixation with iPhones and all the rest of it. There was a piece last Saturday, Martin Lindstrom, You Love Your iPhone, Literally. It's about a study, a neuroscience thing that suggests that they studied an Apple product and the affinity or the attraction, the resonance. And the point is that it elicits deep emotions. In other words, love, literally. And there are several things right along the same line to talk about the depth of being entrapped by these things, by that whole context. Here's a brand new book. I can't wait to get a hold of it because I've read two or three. In fact, I saw this guy being interviewed, as well as read some of Russell Banks, the well-known novelist. He's got a new book called Lost Memory of Skin, which apparently on one level, he noticed these people living under this interchange in Miami. He found out they're all sex offenders, convicted sex offenders who've been released, and they can't live anywhere else, so they live under the freeway. But it sounds like it much more. It's about what he calls the plugged in, tuned out internet culture, lost in the misty zone between reality and imagery, no longer able to tell the difference. A book explores, according to Janet Maslin in The Times, explores the terrible dehumanizing consequences of choosing to live this way. This is how a good man loses his goodness. And it sounds like there's some kind of vague parallel between these offenders and then the loss of meaning and value and so forth. It sounds very powerful. This character called The Kid, who is living under the freeway and in this makeshift camp, and he's entrapped in various ways. this, it's nice that, it sounds like it's, well worth reading, getting a fair amount of ink. And you've got some other contributions, speaking of getting a lot of ink, there's a Steven Pinker, whom I believe is kind of originally a big student of Noam Chomsky, writes about language, among other things. He's got a brand new book. And sorry to be rattling the papers here, but he has really gotten a lot of space, especially as a Wall Street Journal. It's like 3 pages long, and he got to write it. And the whole point of the book, what is the name of this thing? Well, the whole point is violence and brutality have been declining, and empathy is on the rise. It isn't. Yeah, things are not getting worse. In other words, civilization isn't chronic war and chronic genocide, not to mention the horrendous extinction of species. It's really incredible that people can write this stuff. The Better Angels of Our Nature, it's called, the new book, Why Violence Has Declined. Yeah, boy, there sure aren't any wars anymore. No, boy, you sure can't hardly find any. Really kind of incredible. And, leaving out the whole matter of the so-called natural world. Yeah, it's getting better and better. That's what Chomsky thinks, too. So there, he's a faithful student. The Techno-Human Convention. Here's another brand new book by a couple of Arizona State people. They're talking about enhancement, meaning drug technology enhancement, the practice of interfacing humans and technologies to better our capacities, to augment, increase, improve our capacities, and how this is a kind of cyborgian development. We can... if we become part of the machine through biotechnology, we'll live forever. We'll be much smarter than anybody else. They claim that this is changing the ethical space of existence and undoing the questions about right or wrong or ethics or morals or any of that stuff. It's just it's taking over. Reminds me of what Heidegger said about technology. It just redefines everything. There's only one bottom line, and that is serving the machine. Everything stands ready to do that, or is already doing that. And that's the end of philosophy. It's the end of a lot of basic things. And here's an example, somewhat later down the line. Yeah, well... Pinker thinks everything's getting better, but Ross Douthat and others, Douthat writes about how clear it is that younger Americans are more self-absorbed, less empathetic, hungrier for approval. The thinking is thinner and less extended. I mean, dozens of people have said that. Here's a good one. This is just one more tech thing here. How I stopped worrying by loving the smartphone. Yeah, don't be anxious about all this stuff that's happening. You know, I just have given up. I'm just going that away. Oh, here's another one about love. Yeah, neurological research. Case Wickman in a new book called The Raw Story, that how the brain reacts. Well, it's just another take on the allegedly the depth of how deeply people can be colonized and penetrated by the machine. In other words, the cyborgian takeover. It's prevailing, and unless and until we are doing something about it. And one last thing, I guess we're running out of time. I hate to wind up on the kind of weaker negative example books, but Someone named Kathy Rudy has written a book called Loving Animals Toward a New Animal Advocacy. And, well, that sounds good, except it's pro-domestication. Now we have nature culture, one word. Domestication as a new location for a cultural shift concerning the human-animal relationship. So instead of respecting them as autonomous or potentially non-domesticated, the ones that are not yet domesticated, no, it's a good change. That's been a positive development. It really works to the good to tame everything, if that were possible. Well, that's about all the time we have for it. Catherine will be here next time. Have a good week.
Hey, good evening to you out there. You're tuned into 88.1 KWVA Eugene Campus Radio. I am DJ Wulika, and welcome to this week's edition of Notes